interfacing with the Matrix. The Allspark that links everyone and everything that ever lived or ever will live.
Excellent Archives, the highest rated Beast Machines podcast on Apple Podcasts, where we watch each and every episode of the 90s CG cartoon Beast Machine. If you want to follow along, you can follow us. You can do so with the on the DVDs or on Tubi TV. I'm James.
I'm Dode.
Alright, today we are watching episode 7 of season 1, Revelations, part 1, Discovery. Which originally aired on October 30th, 1999. It was written by Byrne Chandler Reeves. This is her first of three she's going to write for the show. The other ones being Survivor and Wolf and Full, which I think are both season two episodes.
Survivor's a season one episode. I think it's like right after the three-parter we're on right now.
Ah, okay. In addition to Beast Machines, she's written for Mirage Studios' Teenage Mutant Turtles, Batman the Animated Series, both He-Man and She-Ra, Gargoyles, and the 95 Spider-Man. And this episode was directed by James Taylor. This is the only episode of the show he's going to direct. And as well as three decades of directing television, he also teaches directing. And in addition, taught at Mainframe in addition to directing episodes. So directing highlights... although some of these are questionable. Savant's Ninja Turtles, The Next Mutation, the 2000s Action Man, Heavy Gear, and MTV Spider-Man.
I take it by your... I was going to say, by your inflection, you actually know that show too, huh?
Is that based on, like the early 90s, like, miniatures war game type thing?
It sounds like it. So I caught this a couple times. In like I think it was the early 2000s. I'm not sure if it was on Fox Kids or not, but it was. It might have played at least locally on the Fox Channel right before Fox Kids started. Mm-hmm. The short version is basically mech battling is a sport.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I remember from it.
Okay. But, I don't think that's the one I know, but I also only vaguely know of it. I only know of it because I have friends who are also into Battletech, mm-hmm. and it seems spiritually related, if not actually related. But that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's dive into...
Kind of weird that both the writer and director of this episode have a TMNT and Spider-Man connection. Yet neither of them actually worked on their respective series together.
Yeah.
Also, this episode came out the day after my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I'd say happy birthday, but we're nowhere near your actual right now.
No.
Is Mirage Studios Teenage Mutant Turtles, is that the 2003 one?
No, that's 4 Kids. So Mirage Studios is actually the company of Eastman and Laird.
Right.
Yeah, so it's the 80s series. They actually produced that one, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The easiest way to differentiate them besides by year is Mirage mm-hmm. Studios, four kids, Nickelodeon, and I guess the current one's Nickelodeon
also
too.
Nickelodeon. But
yeah, also Nickelodeon.
Yeah. mm-hmm.
Three of those four, Rob Paulsen has had some involvement. Two as an actor, mm-hmm. one as a director.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alright. So, we open up as many of us are want to do, with the Maxwells running away from a cycle of drones in the underground. They, running away in robot mode, which seems like a bad idea, but I don't know, maybe it's faster for some of them. So they hit a dead end, and which Black Arachnia blames Nightscream for, like, oh, aren't you supposed to know tunnels underground? Which he is, very salty about. We also find out that Optimus has regained control of the leadership of the Maximal, so that was kind of a short turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
Although he is still kind of wiped out from doing the reformatting.
Nightscream is this is the first instance of Nightscream throughout the entire episode. It's questioning Optimus because he's saying he's not back to 100%, and maybe you shouldn't relinquish command yet, Tidor.
Yeah, he also had like I forgot the exact exchange, but something says, and then Nightscream says, like, oh, so now it's my fault, to which I did hit Rona, like, Jesus, Nightscream, not everything is about you. Anyways, they're cornered, and Thrust asks if they have any last requests, and Officer says, yes, one. And he throws a scimitar at a tank and says, chill, as a whole bunch of, like, coolant flows out and sweeps away all the cycle drones, and nearly also sweeps away a rat trap. Like, he doesn't have a way to jump up, like, into the rafters like they all do.
Yeah.
Black Arachnia tries to save him, but the coolant is, like, cold enough that it freezes her webbing and makes it kind of brittle, and it actually takes Nightscream to save him.
Which, I didn't realize this while watching the episode, but that's actually, it kind of makes sense, a later moment, between Rattrap and Nightscream. Because later in the episode, Rattrap, like, rushes over to help Nightscream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rich Rattrap also says, like, ah, this body is useless. And then Black says, like, don't underestimate yourself. It's ugly, too. Come on! Rattrap cannot catch a break, although this is less actively mean to Rattrap in this episode.
I took it as more as they're back to their old ways. They're sniping at each other, but with love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one feels less like bullying than last episode.
Yeah. Actually, I think Rattrap does, like, turn back and snarl at her.
Mm-hmm.
So at least mm-hmm. he's not, at least if he is getting bullied, he's not putting up with it as much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then they get to the surface and they find something that is, like, that is something, you know, great and wholesome for a children's cartoon, which is a mass grave. I mean, I don't even think that's a thing. It's like, it's basically kind of like a junkyard, except all it's filled is, like, with, Transformer corpses.
Yeah, so, to in my notes, just to illustrate the horror of what we're actually seeing, I used, like, human biological terms. What they actually find themselves inside of is a factory, you know, that would, apparently, is for extracting sparks. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, they found the gas chambers.
Yeah. They don't specifically go there, but yeah, it is not an incorrect metaphor.
Yeah, having spoken personally to a Holocaust survivor, the bodies kind of laying around does kind of lend itself to the metaphor, though. Mm-hmm. I won't get into the specific details she told me about this, but They found a mass grave. Rattrap goes up to one and looks at one of the bodies, and says, "There's no scorch marks around it, so this spark didn't go out. It was pulled out."
Yeah. Weirdly enough, a lot of the ones in there, like, they seem to have, like, their sparks physically drilled out of them. Like, they have four holes, which doesn't seem to happen to other characters get nearly extracted. So
no, it did actually. Okay, didn't happen to Black Arachnia, but the other character that we see later on, like, there actually is a physical hole in his chest before this, when his spark is pulled out. Yeah.
Anyway, we do also get a line from Knights reminding us, like, he actually lived through this, where he says, like, oh, this isn't even one of the bigger ones.
Yeah. Oh, when Rattrap says, like, this spark was pulled out, we get a nice moment of animation from Cheetor. He just looks at them, he just looks, raises his head a little bit and says, you mean they're still alive? And his eyes sort of narrow as as if the truth of what Megatron has done sets in.
Yeah. So, yeah, they don't, unfortunately this moment gets interrupted, including Black Arachnia wondering if Silverbolt was here as well, as Aerodrones show up and start fighting at them. I think Cheetor just says, like, oh, we should probably get back into the tunnels, but Alchemist is like, no more, like, I'm sick of running, like, I want to fight. And clearly starts to hear that's probably not the best idea, as tank drones start showing up, and they kind of start getting overwhelmed, and they have to all split up. I think, is this the second time where, like, Nightscream says, like, hey, she's like, hey, maybe we shouldn't let Optimus give the orders right now.
Yeah, the first time, I don't think we mentioned it, but when they flooded the tunnels, they have to head back to the surface to find some more tunnels that aren't flooded, which is when Nightscream's like, oh, we're going to be sitting ducks, maybe he's not the best decision maker at the moment.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I think this is when the second time, and I don't think it would have mattered if they got into the tunnels or not, because I think Tankor was blocking their escape, mm-hmm. actually.
Mm-hmm.
And also, what was it? I think they scattered just so they're not as big a target.
Yeah. There's a lot of fighting going on. We're not going to go all the other stuff. Like, the important parts is when Black Arachne is about to get slagged by, I believe, a tank drone,
mm-hmm.
Thrust knocks her out of the way. Nightscream at one point gets his wings get damaged, and he's stuck on the ground running away from Tankor, and then I forget exactly the circumstance that caused it, but like a big old tower falls and appears to crush Thrust and Black Arachnia.
Oh, so when it was actually some aero drones. So when some aero drones are about to shoot Black Arachnia, Thrust like tackles her out of the way. The blast from the aero drones like hits the factory. And it sort of collapses. Thrust and Black Arachnia are still inside.
Yeah. I almost forgot there is a good, there is a bit of good banter where, as Tankor is chasing after a grounded, it's like, Tankor, slag, bird bot. And it's like, hello, I'm a bat! Which does raise the question, like, does he know what birds are?
Maybe just Tankor being Tankor.
Well, no. I mean, just, like, it's just always the question. It's like, if organic life doesn't really exist, why would Nightscream know the difference? But I guess they know stuff from Earth? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't forget, this is, like, 300 years in the future, so they probably had a long-standing friendship with Earth.
Yeah. Yeah. We never really know. Earth never really gets brought up in the course of the series, because, you know, why would it?
Yeah, the Human Confederacy is off doing its own thing, which I choose to believe that's the Human Confederacy as a concept is still canon in main G1 continuity.
Well, I believe if you want to go by like the Gen 1 show, they have like a combined alliance. I want to call it like the Earth Defense Force, but I might be getting it confused with a long running video game series of the same name.
Maybe, I just meant that because of the just going from uprising in the 24th century, the Human Confederacy, humans have banded together and created a confederacy.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, I remember that.
Yeah. So as Nightscream is getting chased around, which I just realized the comedy of that. He's a grounded bat just getting chased around by a tank.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if they're going a little faster, it'd be actually kind of scary, but. Considering how slow Tankor can move, it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Rattrap sees that he's in trouble and speeds over to him. which you mentioned earlier, for some of them, maybe robot mode is faster. But Rat Trap, it sure is.
Well, he does got to those two big wheels.
Yeah, like he's the one with the closest thing to a vehicle mode still.
Yeah. Oh, and also, I think on a lot seen before this, like a thing comes out of the factory, like a container, and we do get a line that might be familiar if leaders in the show, where like Rat Trap says, like, "What in the name of Gouda?"
Oh yeah. I think it was like a I think I described it like a rail cart.
Yeah, it kind of is. It's less important because, like, he avoids it, and then it nearly hits Black Arachnia, to which Thrust seals him, saves her again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, also, I forgot. The first time... After the first time it happens, when Black Nia wakes up, she sees a familiar silhouette of Silverbolt looming over her until, like, Thrust comes into view. Which is a clever kind of like foreshadowing thing, even if it does end up being cheating in retrospect. And she does ask Thrust, like, why'd you save me? And he says, like, it was a mistake. It won't happen again.
Yeah. Just going back to Rat Trap for a second. I took it as him being, like, even though he's catching a lot of crap just for being Rat Trap. He still just like sped over to help his teammate.
Mm-hmm.
I think he actually says like, "Hold on, kid, I'm coming."
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Jetstorm's little auctioneer shtick happened before they show the inside the factory.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, so we apologize if we get some of the scenes out of order.
Yeah, we're probably gonna be jumping around a little bit. We promise we'll keep the order of the scene within that location straight though.
Yeah, I do like his auctioneer routine. Like as I said, I'm described as like evil game show host, and that almost kind of really leans into it.
Yeah. I think he says like he starts basically auctioning them as Maximals as forms of currency. But then Optimus tries to shoot him and he misses. So he says, "Oh, I'm sorry, victims may not make a bid. Two Maximals sold to the handsome devil with the silver wings."
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when they realize that, Jetstorm gets hit by the coolant coming out of a vent.
Mm-hmm.
Which is when they realize that coolant we flooded the tunnels with, that's supposed to be used for this factory, which means in a couple of hours this place is going to go sky high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is also when we get a nice moment from Cheetor's. He looks at Optimus and says, "Big Bob, what did you get us into?"
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Anyways, now let's get to, like, the real important part of the episode, where Thrust and Black Arachnia enter the factory, kind of, like, wondering what's going on. Thrust also seems to be having, like, flashbacks of, and you get several scenes from Beast Wars, though it pointedly does not reveal his identity in these flashbacks.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I think he's only seeing the Maximals in his flashbacks.
Yeah. And then once they get in there, like there's like a very large like drone, like mechanical drone, activates, detects there are two sparks in it, and then grabs both of them and tries to extract the sparks.
And I know what everyone's wondering. Yes, the voice of the spark extractor is the Predacon computer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I thought it sounded familiar. I didn't look that up.
Yeah, well, it's also the Viacon computer and the Oracle.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah,
I also noticed that there's a lot of surprise reactions from Black Arachnia. So you get a lot of, like, seeing her extra eyes in this episode.
He keeps getting, specifically, like, as they get closer to the spark extractor, Russ keeps seeing Black Arachnia's Beast Wars forms, mm-hmm. like, all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Was it three? I think she saw the beast mode, the transmetal form twice, once in beast, once in robot, yeah. It kind of looked like a hairdressing machine, like the extractor.
Kinda.
Yeah.
It has, like, two big arms that has claws and reveals. I think this is the first time we've really gotten, like, the spark extractor revealed by name. Like, I don't know if they've really, like, Megatron has a spark extractor on him.
Yeah.
From a say, like, it's intimidating, but also it's like, does he really need to have that on him at all times?
You never know. Maybe when you need a spark extractor.
Grassman starts trying to, again, starts the removing process. Mm-hmm. In the middle of, like, trying to remove Black Arachnia, Thrust, I have in my notes, remembers that he has guns for arms, and shoots the arm, causing it to drop her.
Yeah.
As he ends up getting his sparks extracted.
Yeah.
Black Arachnia transforms into beast mode and quickly realizes, like, oh, this thing can't see me as well, because that's still true. And then she uses it to climb up and then shock the system, causing it to drop Thrust and his spark, which gently flows down.
Two things I want to talk about the extraction. So continuing the metaphor of this being a slaughterhouse, or a gas chamber, the kill line started up when it sends two beating hearts and goes to work.
Uh-huh.
I promise I'll try not to go too far with this metaphor, but, As Thrust is sort of struggling against the extractor, he says, not again.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to be important.
Mm-hmm.
And as she fell down, when she gets free of her extractor and looks up at Thrust, she sees Silverbolt, and because she thinks Thrust is Silverbolt.
Uh-huh.
I say thinks because it hasn't been confirmed yet, or not, whether it's true or not.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and she's going to outright say, she outright is going to try to state it before the rest of the Maximals are going.
Yeah.
Let's see. The only other thing I forgot, the outside of, like, this, which I, like, the Thrust and the Black Ranger stuff is the most important part of the episode.
Mm.
Before it. But I almost forgot that, when, after Nightscream, like, says, Rattrap says Nightscream, Nightscream reveals a new power, where he shoots out fangs, what looks like fangs attached to a core, that attach to Tankor and start draining energy from him and allow him to heal himself. But it looks super goofy. Like, he may as well have sent out, like, a pair of novelty chompers to bite Tankor and drain from him.
I think we're missing the main point of that scene. Ice Cream's a vampire.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's an actual vampire.
Well, he's a bat?
Yeah, no, but well, he's in robot mode, though, and he hasn't done that in beast mode. He's a freaking vampire. Tankor mm-hmm. even said, like, so when his chompers, like, attached to Tankor, he even says, like, Tankor sleepy.
Mm.
Yeah, so he's draining maybe not draining the life out of him, but he's draining the energy out of him.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I want to take a moment, I've been forgetting to bring this up, like, it's always, it's a really impressive how well the Viacom generals emote when they don't really have traditional faces.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Tankor even's got, like, a big gap in the middle of his face, where it doesn't fully close together all the way.
Yeah.
And, like, it's kind of impressive that, like, there are, like, transformers that have, like, full animations that, like, don't quite get the same level of emotion out of them. And it's also kind of funny, given the fact it seems like with most modern Transformer series, they won't even let the characters, like, have faceplates. No, no, we need to have them emote. It's like, they can emote. Like, clearly this shows ways that characters with non-traditional faces can emote.
Actually, that reminds me, I wanted to ask you, so in the G1 cartoon, does Optimus just have a faceplate the entire time?
Yes.
Okay. So I guess we have Beast Wars to thank for live-action Optimus having an actual face.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, that was definitely the start of just, like, because if you remember in the original Beast Wars, particularly with season one, like, he would have the gap in the plate, but, like, when he'd go into, like, battle mode, it would close up so he'd have a full faceplate.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, Beast Wars gave an Optimus an actual face, and with a retractable faceplate. So therefore, I'm saying that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was okay. It definitely started by Beast Wars. They might not have taken it from. I don't know if it continued. That's a. The retractable faceplate for Optimus continued to the other series, but Beast Wars definitely started it.
I would say so, because, like, Animated also kind of, like, really leans into a lot of, like, several characters have like battle faceplates, including the Prime in that one.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a part of me that is kind of irritated. It reminds me of like it is like the Transformers equivalent of in the superhero movie, them pulling off the mask for no reason. I'm like, this is a dramatic scene, and we gotta act, and like you can't act with masks on.
It's ironically okay. I see the parallel, but ironically, they're putting their mask on for battle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So I wanted to make sure we didn't forget this. Like the Rat Trap moment of the episode. Before he runs over and helps Nightscream, he sort of just acts on instinct when he's caught between two aerodrones. He jumps. He is able to jump up apparently. In a sort of corkscrew pattern, and makes them crash into each other, which is when he starts thinking maybe his body isn't completely useless, which I just think like, he just needed to get used to it.
Yeah. I thought that part was kind of weird and confusing. Just like, what is he doing?
Yeah, it's like three different cuts, I'll give you that.
Yeah. I mean, next episode will show like him actually having a power in robot mode that kind of justifies his beast mode or his robot mode.
Yeah. He's the technician. He's the mad scientist slash. He's the Wheeljack of this series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we cut back. So we cut back to the inside of the factory, and Thrust like yells at Blackburn, is like, you need your positronic brain defragmented. Just a nice Isaac Asimov shout out.
Mm-hmm.
And Blackburn gives a speech and telling Thrust, like, no, like, you are a different person. You are Maximal. You're one of us. And then just as she's about to say, call him Silverbolt, Optimus and the rest bust in. Oh, God, I can't believe I forgot. There's, like, one more Jetstorm line. Which we have to get because we're, you know exactly why, because we're both nerds.
Yeah.
Where, like, he sees all the Maximals together except Blackburn, is like, all I need is this spider, and I have the whole set. Gotta catch them all! Because this was just when Pokemon was starting to get popular, too.
Did it really take 2 years for Pokemon to get popular?
Well, okay, it was probably, because, like, it came out in 96?
Seven.
No. Yeah.
No, oh, okay, so I think it was 97 the game, 98, I think, for the show to come here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so this would have been like a year later. Oh, yeah, never mind. That timeline fits.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So all the Maximals bust in, just like, hey, get away from her. And then Thrust transforms the kid out, and, like, Black Arachne is mad as heck. And Optimus starts feeling kind of guilty about, like, the grief and anger about him failing Cybertron and Megatron mocking him kind of leads into indecision, which causes Cheetor to actively take command of the Maximals and order everyone to move out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as I put in my notes, the Maximals run away in an explosion like they're posing for Dreamwave comics. Where there's, like, a weird, like, they're in, like, a run cycle with, like, a static explosion background from them. I don't know if that's a stylistic choice or it's a weird animation era. But all I can think of is, like, there is a picture of, like, the founders of Dreamwave Comics, like with an explosion behind them. It is extremely 90s and says everything about what you need about Dreamwave Comics.
What was it? I think it wasn't so much an animation error as an animation limitation. So, back in Beast Wars, when we were marveling at the water effects, I mentioned that even by the time of Beast Machines, fire effects were hard to do. And I think that's it, because all the quote-unquote fire effects in Beast Machines, they're kind of just reddish-orange mushroom clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think it's more of a limitation of animation than an error.
Anyways, once they finally get away from the explosion, Nightscream is kind of sulking about the destruction of the factories and all the bodies within, and Rattrap's just like, well, you know, they're not dead, you know, all we just need to do is find their sparks. To which Black Arachne reveals, it's like, hey, I found one of them, it's in Thrust, he's one of us. And that's when the Maximals realize, like, oh, we can't kill them without hurting our friends. Which, it's an odd way to put it, because, like, it's... Just because, like, it's never feels like they're really trying to kill them. Like, it's a thing you gotta say. Also, it's weird to hear them just say kill. Because, like, this is the kind of error that you associate shows, you know... I think, like, Dragon Ball's either on the rise or getting there at this point, and, like, and that's when everyone's like, oh, you gotta say destroy all the time. I don't know, maybe because they're robots?
Well, they use some of the, you know, the Transformer words instead of destroy or kill. I think they say... I think at one time they say frag. I think it's like we can't frag them without scrapping our own guys.
Oh, okay. Maybe they say that in saying kill.
Yeah,
I didn't write down the line.
Yeah, well, it's a kind of throwaway line.
Yeah.
Oh, so before Optimus actually did confront Cheetor about removing him from command, but Cheetor kind of justifies it with like you're kind of emotionally compromised.
Yeah,
you blame yourself for this, so you're trying to make up with it with every single encounter with the Viacons. What was it?
And that's pretty much the episode. Although we also get a next episode stinger, which we're not going to describe because you know it's the next episode stinger.
Yeah,
but it is very dramatic.
Yeah, the weird part is like I'm sure they had like the previews after the episodes, like in the during the airing, but this is actually included as part of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which, I guess it's just because it's a three-parter.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is back on like I want to say definitely on like this is definitely going back to its like the show's good standards. Like there is a lot going on here. In fact, probably arguably way too much. But, like, it's got multiple plots going on, like, almost everyone has everything to do, like, Ratchet's the only one that, like, kind of gets a bit of the short stint. But, like, it kind of, but them going in, like, investigating the plot, like, oh, who are the Viacon generals? And, like, and a question which will be answered throughout the, you know, the course of this three-parter.
Mm-hmm. Which will but, be like, a huge...
it's a nice way to kind of set up the mystery.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this three-parter being over, not because I don't like it, but once the question of who the generals are is answered, we will be over a huge hump in the spoiler territory, and we don't have to talk. Yeah. We don't have to like talk around it anymore.
Mm-hmm. But you also have like the continuing plot of like Optimus, like his like you said like yeah you described him as being like emotionally compromised, which is exactly right. He's letting all of his anger and emotions about having, like, failed Cybertron, like, and getting and letting Megatron's, like, taunting goad him, even when Megatron's not actually there.
Yeah.
Which leads Cheetor into, like, going from just, like you know, being given command to going and taking command. And, you know what, as much as we kind of crapped on Nightscreen, like, last episode, here's Backtalk actually made sense.
Yeah.
Because, like,
we've just been a bratty teenager about it, though.
Well, he just joined the team. Like, he doesn't have, you know, he didn't go through, like, a war with them on Earth. So, like, as far, like, he only really knows as Optimus, like, kind of being spiritual and, like, reformatting him. Like, he has more experience with, he has more experience with Cheetor being the leader. So, like, the whole time it's just like, hey, why don't you take over? Can't you tell that he's doing? And, like, perhaps it's not, like, the best way to do it, but he makes sense.
Yeah, fair enough. But I did. Okay, so I didn't. All the stuff that people don't like about Nightscream, I didn't remember much of it. But rewatching these last two or three episodes, like I'm starting to remember. I'm starting to like, get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping this gets toned down in later episodes.
Yeah, it is amusing how he's like basically the anti-Cheetor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Cheetor and Beast Wars, like, super optimistic and looked up to Optimus, and this one is, like, very very cynical, has gone through a war, and just, like, doesn't really get what the fuss is with Optimus. It's like, why are we going with him? Obviously, Cheetor is the better leader.
Yeah. Well, also, like, him being the anti-Cheetor, Cheetor didn't survive a Holocaust, so...
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And just, since you mentioned Optimus in my notes, I actually put it right before Cheetor takes command. I have in my notes Optimus is packing for another guilt trip.
Mm-hmm.
Because like he was shutting down, right? Like right before Cheetor just orders everybody to leave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Also, in this episode, like, I really love how expressive Cheetor's beast mode face is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're really good at facial expressions in this series, like...
Yeah.
Like, they're like, later series that, like... That, like, didn't even come close, even though, like, they were much newer at the... And presumably had access to better CG technology at the time.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing what 3 years can do, huh?
Uh-huh.
3 years in a shorter season, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, so... We're gonna... So, like, this episode is part one of three parts. We're going to be doing our part three Viacon profile. So, in order to talk about Thrust, we're going to have to break our spoiler policy, because otherwise we aren't going to be able to talk as much, and it's going to be revealed in a few more episodes anyway. So, if you're, you know, if you're trying to do this on spoilers, skip ahead for a couple seconds. I think Dowd is going to include a time code.
Yeah, I'll put a time code for, like, when the character spotlight is over. So when we get to the golden disc, I'll put that in the, I'll put it in the description, and maybe try to put in a, tell you at what point to skip to right here.
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, skip forward to about 44 minutes and 50 seconds. Also, we had a small recording mishap, and my audio for the character spotlight is kind of gone. I did my best to cut around it, but I just wanted to make sure you guys knew. That's why.
So yeah, Thrust is he's one of the initial Viacon generals created, and weird and surprising enough, one of the last ones to make it to the end of the series. He obviously leads the Cycle Drone, and he's a very kind of cold and brooding type. Completely devoted to Megatron, even though he knows it's not going to be good. He even is willing to, like, question Megatron's orders, since there's a good moment in Season 2 where Megatron's like, why aren't you beating the Maxwells? Like, I'm the only one left. I need some help, dude. He does end up being kind of treating his Jetstorm as a friend, and when Jetstorm ends up getting reverted into Silverbolt, he gets mad and insists on calling him by Jetstorm and traitor. But of course, Thrust isn't actually Thrust. His mind, in fact, is a shell program over good old Waspinator. Yep, good old helpless Waspinator is good old helpless useless comedy character like Waspinator is the kind of cool biker Thrust. And a kind of weird also callback to, well, not nearly a callback to Beast Machines, but Beast Wars, Thrust is voiced by none other than Jim Burns, formerly of Inferno. We won't go to him in detail because we gave a pretty detailed history of him back in Spider's game. But yeah, it is a pleasure to hear him back on the show. So, I think we mentioned it, but his command code is Overdrive, although there's at least one instance where they accidentally use Accelerate instead. Yeah, so he leads all the Psychodrones and... Like most of the Viacons, you can tell him apart from the drones since he has yellow markings. And also, though unlike the rest of them, you can also tell him apart because he's like twice the size for some reason. I guess maybe that's reflect his toy versus their toy, although their toy didn't come until much later, but we'll get there. Anyways, almost forgot. So here's his tech spec. There are no rules on the road, only victors in scrap metal. By far the most agile of the land-based generals, the Viacon Thrust is a lethal adversary against any Maximal. Extreme speed and a shrewd handling make him a hard target. Subdued personality is a mystery. Disposition reeks of a rebel without a cause. The only general not intimidated by Megatron. Always seems to know the correct thing to say. It is rumored that he hosts the sparks of a former Predacon Waspinator. Outfitted with an enormous amount of firepower, fires energy pulses by spinning his front wheels while popping a wheelie. In robot mode, one arm functions as a rapid-fire energy pulse weapon and the other a grappling hook. Cares nothing for himself. But is often heard muttering the nihilistic phrase, to think is to say no. Yeah! Yeah, that is kind of surprising. Like, I thought they would just hit, like, nope, they're just gonna say it. So, speaking of toys, so he had a mega toy, which, while Night Scream's toy mostly matched a show model, his is kind of different, where it looks kind of weird. He has heads that don't really look like. He has a different head in vehicle mode and road mode, neither of which really looks like his show mode. It has the same kind of idea of, like, the mono tire, like, a head that, if I remember correctly, it has a gimmick where, as you roll him on the ground, his head will turn back and forth, kind of like patrolling the streets. Of course, as you might imagine, properly emulating his robot mode in the show is a little tricky because, you know, most toys don't really balance well on one wheel. So you can split his feet apart in order to create his wheels apart to create feet, or you could have him in three-wheeled trike mode. It's kind of weird. Yeah, there are more generals as such. There are, like, other land characters. Some of them are, like, honestly, as I mentioned, like, some of them are actually my favorite toys from the lines, even though they don't actually show up in the proper. Like, Beast Machine's Mirage is a hella good toy, but, again, not actually in the show, so we can't really talk about him. And that was not the only toy he got. He also got a McDonald's toy, which is kind of adorable. It comes with a stand so you can actually do a single his mode, and actually looks more accurate to his show form than his original toy, and which is kind of sad. Though he later got so there was one toy that is him, and then there was another a smaller toy, a basic that's supposed to be a motorcycle drone, which looks more accurate to what they appear in the show, and that actually got repainted into Thrust in Japan. Well, it's more smaller. It looks closer to it. It actually kind of is a cool thing where his head in robot mode is also the same head in motorcycle mode. There's a part you flip around so it looks different. So you kind of recreate the gimmick of the show of where all the Viacom generals, like, their head is visible in both their robot mode and vehicle mode. There's a couple cases. Like, there's a, like, Tanker's going to be the same way where his, toy doesn't, like, it kind of matches up, but there's a lot of differences between a show model, but then they'll make a smaller tank drone that looks a lot like it. Jetstar weirdly is the opposite, where he gets a small deluxe toy that doesn't quite look like a show form, and then a mega form which does. This is a kind of a confusing toy line. Maybe some of the kinks were getting out since this was the first time they made a vehicle line in a long while. Like, it's hard to think about it now, but I remember it was kind of a big deal in the fan, just like, oh wow, we're actually getting vehicle Transformers. Since, you know, it had been years since, like, the Gen 2 line arrived, and unless it died, and it had been, you know, just been, like, you know, 3 years of Beasts. So finally getting, like, ooh, let's see, like, let's get vehicle modes again was kind of a cool thing, even if now you're just like, well, what's so special about, like, having vehicle Transformers in a Transformers line? That's what they are. I do think most of the actual toy design work was done in Japan, even if the design, you know, maybe the designs were done here on paper. Anyways, generally, as I understand, a lot of times they do it is, like, you know, rough designs are done in America and then sent off to Japan for toy designs. Let's see. There was also one more toy he got, which is taking us way back to Beast Wars Uprising, where we get a Thrustinator, which is a Primus of Horde, like, abomination, where it's Vossmander merged with Thrust. Which, if you remember from Beast Wars Uprising, is when, like, they intentionally infect Vossmander with the Viacon virus and then hit him with a cure, so he ends up getting stuck halfway. Well, this is based on an actual, like, Vossmander toy. He's specifically based on Dirge Gun from Beast Wars 2, which was a combination, like half Wasp, half robot. Anyway, so I think that's all for Thrust. Alright, so any messages from the Golden Disc?
No new reviews, and I don't think we've gotten any I don't think we've gotten any emails. Oh, I don't think we... Let me check if we had any fan reactions on Twitter recently. By the time this comes out, this will have already happened, but Chris McFeely actually is going to be doing a Transformer, the basics on Transformers for the Predacons in a couple days from when we record this.
Nice.
And if you're one of his... I assume there's some crossover here, but if you're one of his patrons and one of our listeners, you've probably already seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we tweeted that out. Get hyped for this, and then Megatron's, I am the hype! I was rewatching a lot of Dragon Ball Z Abridged recently, so...
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the only message from the Golden Disc we need to talk about. The Predacon spotlight is coming up.
All right. So in that case, that brings us to our MVB. Dowd, who is your MVB?
I guess I have to give it to Cheetor for taking charge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming yours is either Black Arachne or Thrust.
Yeah, I was trying to decide between them. I'm gonna go with Black Arachne. This is where she gets like some real drama and pathos and just like, oh, where's my love? I think I found my love, and it's going to, which she will get to find out. Although there will be a anticlimax before she gets the real information.
Oh yeah, I actually remember that from. I remember that moment when we were airing it originally.
Mm-hmm.
sorry, I just remember the shock look on her face
mm-hmm.
when she finds out what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
When this subplot line gets developed a little bit more, we of course will be trying to get Janine back on because she's here for all the major Black Bolt moments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Silverbolt will be coming back.
In one form or another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alright, speaking of which, next time on Axon Archives, Cheetor and Rattrap make a surprising discovery about their missing memories and the identity of Tankor. Revelations Part 2, Descent.
And the, Wow, okay, so I guess next episode would be better to have Lewis on, but we're going to try to get Lewis on for part 3, just so we can sort of discuss one of his favorite characters from Beast Machines without having to worry about spoilers.
Because I think they revealed the identity of Tankor, but the real important like revelation of that, I think, is in part 3.
Yeah. Hey, actually... Hey guys, if you honestly don't know who the generals are, send us in some guesses.
Mm-hmm. no peeking at this decades old cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. If for some reason Beast Machines was where you a blind spot for you for Transformers, and like maybe you just watched Beast Wars. And you're following along. Well, seriously, tell us who you think the generals are.
Mm-hmm.
This should be fun.
Actually, I'm kind of curious. Did we pass the 20th anniversary of the show?
October 30th, 99. So that'd be later this year.
Okay. Well, I meant like the show in general. So the show started in September. So.
Oh yeah.
I don't. Yeah. So we'll be getting its 20th anniversary this year, although I will probably be done with it before that we get there.
Yeah.
Maybe? I don't know. I haven't counted on the number of weeks.
Just ballparking it, I think we'll be done around August.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because there's only about 6 months worth of episodes. If we do one episode every single week, there's only about 6 months worth of episodes in all of Beast Machines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which, actually, I guess we might be done before summer, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's weird to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is a shorter show.
Yeah, no, just like, I don't know why. I never think of June as being the middle of the year. I always think of it as like being the end of the first third.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. This is what happens when your entire perception of the year is first day of school is the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So anyways, in closing, thank you for listening to the Axelon Archives. If you have a question or want a guest on the show or just want to talk about Beast Wars, you can reach us on Twitter at Axelon Archives or by email at axelonarchives@gmail.com. Part of the music used in this episode is Fat Planet by Left Field and is copyright Left Field. Fat Planet is only used for purposes of discussion and no violation of international copyright is intended. Find the band on the web at leftfieldmusic.com and on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes by searching for Left Field. All one world. Word. If you can find our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, Podknife, Podbeam, Podchaser, TuneIn, Stitcher, or on Spotify, please leave a rating and a review because it helps people find the show. And check out our website at axelon.buzzsprout.com. If you want to follow either of us on Twitter, you can follow me at Discord_Inc.
You can find me at Dalfek.
And until next time, remember to transform and transcend your destiny.
Let's get ready to make some noise.